worship this morning to gain some truth from God's Word and to be encouraged for another week. And one thing that was already presented this morning was that in the life of Mary, she gave a lot in anointing Jesus' feet with that ointment. And it was discussed a little bit that we need to give a lot to Christ. Well, it is hard to give if we don't love, or if we don't know, or if we don't have a relationship with. We're going to struggle to give, right? And so as we develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, it starts out kind of young, kind of new, and as we begin that relationship and that relationship grows, so does our giving and our commitment, and all those things grow with Jesus Christ. So a relationship with Jesus Christ is continually growing. I used to look at older folks, and I still do, and I say, boy, they have it all together. As I get older, I realize they don't always have it all together, and they are still growing in Christ. They still have challenges of life. They still have anxieties and stresses that they face, and they continue need to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ for strength and guidance and wisdom. And I do that. I think I call out more for that now than I did when I was a teenager or in my early 20s. And because as you grow, you get more responsibility. As you get older, I should say, more responsibility usually, and for me, it's kind of like, man, I really don't know how to handle life sometimes, and I need God's wisdom and direction. Open your Bibles to Ezekiel, because Ezekiel's in the Old Testament, and I know you might think this is a book that is in the Old Testament. Okay, it's after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. You can find it now. And Ezekiel is a large book. If you're a prophet, you love this book, especially with current events and things. We're not going to go down that path this morning. Sorry to disappoint you prophets or people that love prophecy. And for you that don't really like prophecy, you can sit back and relax and enjoy. We're going to look at the life of Ezekiel. But before we get to the life of Ezekiel, there was a pastor that went into the hospital to visit a young man, or a young boy. This young boy was in his children's hospital, and he was in kind of an unruly character. He wasn't listening to the nurses. He wasn't probably taking his medicine and different things he needed to be doing. He just causing problems. Well, the pastor thought, you know what? I got a remedy. I'm going to come up with a plan to help this guy be obedient, to be kind and accept the things that the nurses are asking him to do. So he said, young man, he said, I want to make a deal and bargain with you. And this was when back a number of years when money was worth more than it is now. And he said, I will give you a dime next weekend after if you behave for 1 week. Now, that doesn't sound too difficult. But so the time passed and the pastor comes back in and he says to the young boy, he said, how did you do this weekend? How was your obedience? And I'm not going to ask the nurses because I want you to tell me, how did you do? The young boy thought a while and considered a while, and after a little pause, he said, well, maybe you should just give me a penny instead of a dime. What an honest answer of, you know what, maybe I wasn't quite as obedient as I should have been. What about in our life with the Lord Jesus Christ? Ezekiel is a prophet that was called to do have an extreme ministry, radical. If we seen this man Ezekiel, if we seen what he did as God asked him to do today in today's world, we put him in the mental institute. We'd say that guy is off his rocker. He's crazy. But God asked him to do some bizarre things to get the attention of people that were being disobedient. People that had lost their relationship with Jesus Christ. People that had rejected Jesus Christ and what God wanted them to do in life in serving and worshiping Him. And Ezekiel was called as a prophet. God raised him up as a prophet, a true prophet, to try to get the attention of the people, of God's people, the children of Israel. All right, so we open your Bibles to chapter 3 of Ezekiel. You're there already. I trust in Ezekiel in the beginning. Chapter 3, verse 10, talks about God speaking to Ezekiel and says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man." Now this word, son, these three words, son of man, is spoken like 90 times or 90 plus times in the book of Ezekiel. It was a special title that was given to Ezekiel, son of man. There was one other man that was given this title one time, and that's in the book of Daniel. Daniel was called the son of man. And the other title is in the New Testament. It was given to Jesus Christ, son of man. And Matthew. And so we see that Jesus had given, God had given Ezekiel here a special title, son of man. And throughout the book of Ezekiel, if you read it, you would see that. Let's continue on. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine ear and hear with thine ears." In other words, we need to have our ears open. We need to get a Q-tip out and clean the wax and the gunk out of our ears so we can hear and not let it go straight through to the other side. Sometimes when we're speaking to people, we're like, "Are you listening?" Because we think it's going in or out or even not getting in. In other words, God is saying here, you need to hear it. You need to receive it. And then Ezekiel was to expound that message to the people, that the message that God gave to him, he was to give to the people that he was around and sharing to the children of Israel. The mission and message was for a people that had rebelled against their Creator, God the Creator. We know Genesis 1 that God created us, and Genesis 2 and 3 in the beginning of creation, and God created us. This message was for, and we can be a spiritual message for us. And are God's adopted children rebelling against their Savior? That's what the children of Israel were. They were God's children. God had chosen them to be an example, to love Him, and to be an example of the nations around them, that they are God's children and they are worshiping God, and they didn't even get a penny. All right, their obedience was gone. They missed it all. The whole 10 cents, the whole 10 pennies were gone, and they missed it because of their disobedience of God. They didn't have the love for God, the obedience. And when we love something, it motivates us to serve that individual or that person or that thing. And God, as we love God, it'll motivate us to be obedient and love Him. A special name we already talked about. Let's go down to God is sending a Jewish prophet to a Jewish people. Chapter 2, verse 4. And we're going to have a bunch of verses, but we're going to look now at Ezekiel and the exciting things that God has asked, the bizarre things that God has asked Ezekiel to do. But before we get to that, verse 4 says this of Ezekiel 2, "For they are an impudent children and stiff-hearted," a description of the people there. "I do send unto them, thou shalt say unto them, thus says the Lord God." And over 199 times in the book of Ezekiel, you'll see the phrase, "thus says," or "said the Lord God." And so God's message was coming strong, coming through the book of Ezekiel very strong, that this is what the Lord God is saying. This is what's going to happen, and this is what I want you as people to do. And so we see that, we'll see that message coming through. If you were to read the book of Ezekiel, you'll see that message coming through. In other words, pay attention when God speaks to us through His Word. And also, we can also, along with through the Word of God, we can also get through the brotherhood also. The brotherhood is a place that we can gain truth and wisdom from one another to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel, now verse 5 and 6 of the second chapter, Ezekiel's prophecy is drawn, was to be done during opposition. Regardless of the opposition, Ezekiel was to be obedient and give the message. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. So regardless if the people hear you or obey you, you need to give the message. You need to be faithful in serving and obeying the Lord here, is the message that was given to Ezekiel. And thou, in verse 6, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." In other words, don't be fearful. You're going to face opposition. You know, when we face opposition, or maybe I should speak for myself, you know, when you're not so sure about if you're liked by somebody, you kind of hold back a little bit. There might be some opposition against you, and you don't like conflict. Well, some people might like it, but most people don't. And so therefore you shy away from conflict. You shy away from those things that are potential for making us uncomfortable. And God is saying, Ezekiel, you're going to face this. They're going to be like scorpions. And, you know, a scorpion stings, and it can cause death, and it can be painful. And their words, we heard about that in children's meeting this morning. One's those nasty words are out there. They're hurtful, and we can't take them back. And so therefore, these things are all going to happen to Ezekiel. And God's saying, you need to give the message anyways. You need to do what I tell you to do, regardless of the mockery you're going to face. And God says, so God called Ezekiel to do this, and he's going to face his opposition. But God doesn't leave Ezekiel there. Well, I believe strongly when God calls, God enables us. You know, God calls, and then He enables the called. And so we look at the chapter 3 now. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to verse 8 and 9. And God is going to enable Ezekiel. Behold, I have, verse 8, "Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their forehead." In other words, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you strength. In the New Testament, we'd say, God gives us the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to handle the conflict. We'll be able to handle the forces against us because the Spirit of God is living within us and will enable us to keep our heads up, so to speak, and preach the Word of God. Verse 9, "As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." Regardless of the opposition, I'm going to give you that strength. I'm going to empower you, and you're going to be able to handle this by the grace of God, by the strength of God. And Ezekiel did that. Ezekiel was faithful. Ezekiel spread that spiritual message to the people of his day, and a special work that he was called to. God calls an individual to a special work. When God calls an individual to a special work, he will enable that individual through the power, presence of the Holy Spirit. Another thing before we get into the mission of Ezekiel, Ezekiel called as a watchman. Verse 17 of chapter 3. A watchman is somebody that is on guard, somebody that's paying attention, someone that is making sure that the enemy will not penetrate the city unknowns to the city. And so the watchman would stand on the wall at night, or in their, maybe they had a little hut on the wall, and they would watch in the horizon, and if they seen a horse or an individual, a horse carrying an individual or an individual coming over the horizon, they would look at that, and they would have to make a decision, and that decision would be, is this an enemy coming, or a group of enemies coming, or is this a safe individual, someone that is a friend? Is it going to be a foe or a friend? They have to make that decision. And if the decision is it's a foe, they would send a warning through the city that an enemy is coming. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And that was Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. And he wasn't just going to stand on the wall and watch, but he was going to warn of the enemy. Verse 7 there, 17, I mean, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of at my mouth, and give them warning from me." So the watchman had two responsibilities, and that was Ezekiel, the watchman. And if you're a watchman, as pastors, I guess we're watchmen. Delton, the deacon, and Bishop over here, brother, he's to be a Glenn. He's to be a watchman. All right, And we need, as watchmen, we need to hear. All right? That's what Ezekiel was doing. God said, Ezekiel, you need to hear. First of all, I need to hear what? I need to hear from God, the Word of God. And then, secondly, I need to spread that warning. I need to speak it. And that's what Ezekiel was called to do. Hear the Word of God, and then, secondly, give the Word of God. Speak the message boldly for the cause of God. Ezekiel as a street preacher. Now we get into the fun things of Ezekiel as a street preacher. I don't know in Bradford here if you guys go out in the street and do street evangelism of passing out tracts and ministering. Sounds to me like they come and sit right on the church bench. I don't know if that makes it easier or harder. But anyways, that's great. That's how you get in contact with people in the community. It's awesome. But anyways, Ezekiel as a street preacher in chapter 3, verse 26. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and thou shalt not be a to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. In other words, Ezekiel, the first thing I'm going to have you do is be dumb. No message comes, right? In other words, how do you be a street preacher and you're dumb? Do you sit out on the street? Do you lay out in the street? Do you sit on a chair? Do you walk up and down the street and you simply just can't talk? God says, I make you dumb. All right? Verse 27. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus says the Lord, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Someone has said, he was made dumb for 7.5 years, not being able to speak. I would assume that if Ezekiel was amongst the people and was a prophet and they knew that, and they knew that God made him dumb and could not speak, they had to wonder, what is going on? What for message does God have for His people because He made His prophet dumb, not be able to speak? All right? It doesn't end there. Now we're going to get into some bizarre things that Ezekiel was called to do. First, he was a street preacher that was dumb. Second, he was to lay in the street for many, many days. Chapter 4, verse 5, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that or follow along. It says this, for I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390. So shall they bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. Verse 6, and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days, and I will appoint thee each day for a year. So we have on the left side, Ezekiel needs to go out into the street. Now today you don't want to lay in the middle of the street, you'll get run over, and that'll be the end of you. But I assume with horses and chariots and foot traffic, you could get away with laying in the middle of the street. But he was to go out and lay in the street on his left side 390 days. Now that's over a year. Do you have any volunteers to do street ministry? I didn't think so. All right. So you accomplish, finally, the 390 days are over. Oops, that's right. I got 40 more days to lay on my right side. Still no volunteers for street ministry, right? 400. You don't need to work. You just need to lay in the street. Maybe that is work. Maybe that's work. I can't imagine laying there. I don't know. Was it an 8-hour day, 10-hour day, 12-hour day? I have no idea. Scripture don't really. But he was called to lay on the street for 430 days. How ridiculous. How bizarre, right? The message that God has given him to give. That was lay on the street. Now, we're going to look. That wasn't it. The bizarre things continue. Ezra 4:9. Ezekiel 4:9, excuse me. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and flinches and put them into one vessel. Now you can get Ezekiel bread at health food stores. It's probably already mixed together, but let's follow along here. And make thee bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And so we have the food that he is to eat. He's supposed to also, besides laying in the street, he's supposed to eat this special food. How are you going to bake bread on the street? This is a very bizarre way that he was called to break bread on the street. And Ezekiel 4:12, it's in the Scripture. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with the dung that cometh out of man in their sight. That's what Ezekiel was to do. But Ezekiel said, wait a minute, God. And you can turn and read Deuteronomy 23. We're not going to go there. It was an abomination to God for this uncleanliness. Ezekiel said, God, I request that I don't have to do this because this isn't proper. This isn't kosher, if you want to use a Jewish term. And God says, okay, I will give you an alternative. Verse 15. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given the cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. All right. So you bake the special, you lay on, let's see, no, you can't speak, and then you're to lay on the street 430 days, and you're also to bake special bread, and you're supposed to make it out of cow dung. Or not out of cow dung. Bake it with cow dung. Excuse me. Use that as the fuel. Now we don't end there yet. Three piles, next we turn into Ezekiel was a hairy man in chapter 5. And I probably need to turn to that chapter 5, verse 1. And Ezekiel was called to shave his head and his beard. And verse 1, and thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard, that thou... Then take the balances to weigh and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled, and thou shalt take a third part and smite about it with a knife, and a third part thou shalt scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thou shalt also take thereof a few in number and bind them in thy skirt. Then take of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire, for there shall be a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. So we have Ezekiel here was given another bizarre thing to do. Just simply shave off the hair of thy head and off thy beard. And you're supposed to divide it into thirds, and you're supposed to do different things with each pile of hair and of hair. Number one pile, you take thy dagger or that knife and you stab the hair with a knife. Alright? That's kind of bizarre, but it had a representation. Number two, the second pile was you're supposed to take it and light it and burn it. Burn it with fire. And the third pile, you were to take a few pieces of hair, tuck it in your belt and throw the rest in the air. Kind of scatter it around. So there were three things that Ezekiel was to do with the hair in his head. Now, what I should have gave a little background maybe on Ezekiel. Ezekiel was approximately 30 years old. And when Babylon came and took children of Israel captivity, Ezekiel would have been a contemporary of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those group. Daniel would have been taken in the first group. Ezekiel, I think, was in the second group. And then there was a third group. Ezekiel was going to be a priest, and he had trained to be a priest. And at the age of 30, when he was about ready to start his priesthood, he was taken to captivity into the land of the Chaldeans, Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, if you look on a map, in the Mesopotamian Valley, where the Tower of Babel was built, and where Babylon was built, and that's where Ezekiel was taken captivity. And so Ezekiel was here talking about the captivity of Israel. There was going to be yet another, the third time had not yet happened, and the rest of the children of Israel were going to be killed by the sword, and some were going to die actually we'll get down to that. Let me read verse 12. Instead of just explaining it, verse 12 of chapter 5, a third part of thee shall die with pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. So we see the pestilence and famine is the first one-third shall die. The stabbing with the dagger represents the third that shall die with the sword. And the third were taken into Babylon captivity. They were taken out of their land. They were scattered. Now, the bizarre things of Ezekiel's life did not end. In chapter 24, we will see that Ezekiel was asked a very difficult thing to do. And that was his wife was going to die, and he was not allowed to mourn the death of his wife. Chapter 24, verse 15. Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is unto Ezekiel, son of man, there you see that again, that phrase, behold, I take away from thee the desires of thine eyes with a stroke. In other words, his wife is going to die due to a stroke. Okay, let me continue. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Okay, he shall not cry. In other words, he shall not mourn. They tell me that the Jewish people have a... Has a tradition of when someone dies, they have a period of mourning. It's called Sheba. And in that, and the Sheba in the Hebrew means seven. And so when someone passes away, a special family member, a husband or a wife, someone close by, they would pronounce Sheba. In other words, they would mourn for 7 days. They would rip off their clothes. They would mourn. They wouldn't eat. They'd fast. And there would be a mourning for 7 days. And God is saying to Ezekiel, your wife is going to die of a stroke and you are not allowed to mourn. When she dies, the next morning you get up and you need to go back out to the street and do the work that I have commanded you to do, and you shall not shed a tear. Now that has to be something very difficult. Only by the grace of God, I believe, was he able to do this. Chapter 24, verse 17. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and upon thy shoes, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning and the evening. My wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. In other words, he did not pronounce Sheba. He did not mourn with the death of his wife. This was what God has given Ezekiel to do, to witness to those people that had rejected Jesus Christ, or rejected God, I should say. In today's language, we say rejected Jesus Christ. And it was another example of getting attention of the people in ministering. We also know Ezekiel prophesied to the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37. Ever think about preaching to a bunch of dry bones? But Ezekiel did that and preached to the Valley of Dry Bones. Some people think it might have been a literal Valley of Dry Bones that he's seen, and he literally spoke to them. It has some more meaning to it. It may refer to this passage in prophecy of Israel being scattered. They've lost their way and they're out in spread among the nations, and God was going to bring them back to be a nation. And we know that took place in 1948 when Israel became a nation. And today, yet there's the Jewish people are returning to their land, and spoken here of in Ezekiel. Ezekiel's consistency and obedience, we get to a practical message for us today. When God said, go to your people, a rebellious people, and speak to them, no matter what they say or what they look like, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God said, lay in the street for 430 days on your left and right side, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God said, break your bread with cow manure, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God said, cut your hair off, stab it, burn it, and throw it in the air, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God said, I'm going to take your wife, the love of your life, don't you mourn, you get back to the task, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God said, preach to the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. Ezekiel listened and obeyed God in prophesying about the things to come to the Jewish people. How could he do this? Now we get into something special. Turn back to chapter 1 of Ezekiel 1. It's a chapter, if you read it, and you probably have already, it gives of a vision. It's It's kind of hard to understand, and we don't understand everything that God was revealing here in chapter 1. But one thing I think you'll see in chapter 1, if you read, we're not going to take time to read the whole chapter, but if you read the chapter 1, you see this vision that Ezekiel's seen, and he's seen the glory of God. And I believe this vision that Ezekiel seen was to represent God's glory, the power of God. And Ezekiel could say Ezekiel could do what he did, and he could say yes, sir, to the things that God asked of him because he seen the glory of God. All right. And if you go in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory that came down into the temple. When God would come down and meet His people, and there'd be a cloud and different things, it was the glory of God that came. And when you and I, when we get the picture or the glory of God in our minds, we'll be willing today to say, yes, sir, God, when God calls us to the things that He wants us to do in life. Even a relationship with God, we can say, yes, God, I can now understand. I want to serve You because You're so glorious. You're so marvelous. In verse 4, chapter 1, we're going to look at this vision a little bit. And I looked and beheld a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. Any brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. In other words, there was a fire, and it enfolded itself. How do you explain? How does a fire enfold itself? I'm not sure quite what it means, but it must have been something miraculous and something awesome to see of this fire, and that's enfolding itself. And the whirlwind and a great cloud, and not just that, there were four creatures, and they had four faces, and they were cherubims, and they were special angels. I could just call them special angels, I guess. There were different angels that the Scriptures talk about, cherubim, seraphims, and throne angels, and there was different angels, and these were the cherubims, and they were part of this vision, the thing that came down out of heaven, the glory of God, I believe, coming down out of heaven that Ezekiel seen. And verse 4 of Ezekiel chapter 10 gives a little more picture of this vision. And one thing prophets and prophecy, people that enjoy prophecy, the important thing of trying to understand prophecy is to take the Scriptures and where is this mentioned somewhere else in Scripture, and how does it give an explanation to what maybe is said prior in Scripture. So you take Scripture to explain Scripture, and that's how you can safely interpret prophecy, is what does it say in another passage in Scripture. Verse 4 of chapter 10, then the glory of the Lord, see, here we have the glory of the Lord, went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. So we have the glory of the Lord. All right, and now we go back to chapter 1, verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. So you have four cherubs, and they had four faces, and they had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. Someone has came up with a suggestion of maybe what this means, and I kind of like it, and if you prophets want to differ with me, I would be open to that, to hear what you say. But the suggestion that was given by someone was Matthew represent that these four face, that the face here represent Jesus Christ and His ministry as He came to earth. Matthew presents Jesus as royalty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and would represent the face of the lion, the king of the animal world. Mark, the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, would represent Jesus Christ as a servant. The ox was a servant animal. And the book of Luke would present Him as a man. He was a man. God, He came as man. We call it incarnation, where God became man. Man and God together. And the book of deity, and that would be the back of the head, that face would be the eagle. And, so just something of interest, and of what it could represent. But let's continue on with this vision. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Thus were their faces and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one was joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. Verse 12. And they went one, every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. This is this vision of chapter 1, the glory of God that he's seen. We get a description of the wings here, the four cherubims, and each standing with two wings out and two wings covering their body and two wings touching the tip of the two others, forming a perfect square. So you have the four angels, and you have their wings, and they're forming a square. And they have the four faces that see in all directions. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's because it's the glory of God, I believe. Verse 15. And now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel. Now it has wheels yet. Upon the earth by the living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness in their appearance, and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I don't know what that's supposed to all represent or mean or look like. A wheel in the middle of the wheel. And this is coming down out of heaven and out of the sky, coming down to earth. And someone has called it the throne chariot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue reading there in chapter 1, verse 24, how we see the glory of God now. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament, which was over their heads, when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament, there was over their heads was a likeness of a throne. Here we get like a throne chariot, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. So we have the idea of maybe of a throne chariot. His vision was of a throne chariot coming down out of heaven that Ezekiel seen. And the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, and I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the waist up, and from the appearance of his loins even down, from the waist downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. Someone has written this about this vision. On this throne chariot, you've got the four cherubims. They are moving. They have a wheel in the middle of a wheel. That's how they move. They sound like the rushing water when they are moving. There's a rainbow over the throne chariot coming down. There's the appearance of man from his belly up and from his belt up. Yeah, and from his belt up there's fire. From his belt down there is fire. Now verse 28. As appearance of the bow that is in the cloud of the day, in the day of rain, so was appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and I heard the voice of one that spoke. How could Ezekiel say, yes, sir, to the bizarre things that God requested of him? He's seen the glory of God. He really, literally seen the glory of God. We don't understand everything of this vision, but we can see the magnificence of how he tried to explain it as has been written here in the Scripture for us, of the glory of God. You and I can see the glory of God. Psalms 19:1, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. You might say, I haven't seen a vision as Ezekiel did, and so therefore I don't have the power, or I don't have the excitement, or I don't have the zeal to serve the Lord like Ezekiel did. And these things that God may ask of me, I don't want to do them because I haven't seen the glory of God. Well, we see it in nature around us. The Milky Way, one Milky Way, I think, has what, millions or billions of stars, and there's multiple Milky Ways. If we had a telescope, we could see the glory of God. We see it with our naked eye. We see the many stars at night. What about the woodpecker that sits on a tree and he hangs on the side of a tree and he hammers that tree with his head? Why don't you try that once? No, don't. You'll hurt your head. But all the other birds, if they tried that, their brain would go to mush. But God designed that woodpecker with a special mechanism behind his beak and in his head that his brain don't go to mush. His claws on his feet are turned different than other birds so he can hang on the tree. His tail is reinforced so that his tail can be a brace against that tree. Other birds' tails with just feathers would break right off. But he can sit there against that tree, hanging on with his tail there, and he can hit that tree as hard as he can to get the wood chips to fly. And then his prey is in that hole way far in, and then his long tongue that wraps around the back of his head goes, doof! And he goes in there, and that worm sticks to the tip of his tongue, and he retracts that tongue, and a yummy meal he has. Do we ever see the glory of God? You want to serve the Lord? Absolutely. There's many things in nature that God has created that if we just look how God created, it will inspire us to an obedient worship and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? This week, be inspired to serve the Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your blessings. Thank you, God, that you've given us Scripture, exciting things in Scripture. We think they're bizarre, but you've done it for reasons and purposes to get people's attention, to turn their hearts to you, God. God, we just pray that it doesn't take that for us to turn our hearts and our commitment and our obedience and our love to you, God. God, just inspire us to continue to serve you, be an example of the generation for the generation now and here and the generations for the future as you retire, Lord. God, I just pray that we can be encouraged to serve you in difficulties of life. When stresses and challenges of life come, when we feel discouraged and depressed and we feel like life is a dark cloud upon us and there's nowhere to turn, there's no way to get out. God, you provide a way out. We just need to turn to that. And trust you and love. And God, if as we struggle in life, as different ones may struggle in life, I just pray for a healing. Just that your grace can be upon them as they reach out to you. You can bring them that healing and strength and power and that you ask, that you can give, God, only you can give. God, we just thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for God, being in control. You're our Creator. You know all about us. And you don't know about our needs. Just as you did in the time of Ezekiel. As you walked with Him, you will also walk with us. Thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll turn it over to the song leader.